Here we go. Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Bible says, "Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name." But, you'd think that was good news, amen? Many people saw the miracles, believed in the name of the Lord. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Lord, we come before you this morning. It is good to have air conditioning. It is good to be in your house. It is good to have four-day weekends. Life can be so confusing. I ask, Lord, that you would bind every distraction today, that we can indeed come into your presence, that you might be glorified in our midst as we come to understand, Lord, the challenges that you bring and the opportunities that you bring in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Trying to hear it out of the youth. Yeah. We got good stuff going on with the youth, by the way. Good things. We had movie night on Friday night. And thank you, Juan Carlos and Yaceli, for using the bounce house. We had 30 kids here. They were going pretty much crazy in that bounce house. And we had dinner. The cooking crew, George and the staff, made lasagna. It was just fabulous. We got Mike Henson put up this new, it's like 13-foot screen in the patio down there, and that is now our theater. And I was frantically, because it was a long week. Anybody else have a long week? And I got to Friday afternoon, I had some lunch, and I had my tools out because we were setting up for the movie night. I fell asleep. And so I came back, and it was like 5 o'clock, and I was putting up the new speaker system. And so we kind of got, well, surround sound anyway. It's kind of like Pastor Bob's made up surround sound. But I got the speakers up, and I'm putting them up, and I'm wiring them. And I got two of them working. I'm putting the other two up, and it's, you know, 5:45, start at 6:30, and I'm working like crazy, and Steve walks in, and you know, Steve, I talked to Steve. I said, "Steve, I'm going to talk about you today. I don't need you to make any comments," because Steve sometimes make comments, and so we're rolling, and I'm working frantically, you know, and I'm up on this chair, and I'm doing my, just like this, I'm doing my wiring, and Steve is standing kind of below me, and you know, I've got the movie night and all that stuff going through my head. And Steve goes, "So, Pastor Bob, you got a little bit of a belly there." And I, you know, and I am thinking, I'm up here on my stair, I'm going, "I don't know what you were talking about." I literally said that. I don't know what you're talking about. I've been looking down here and I'm looking good. And he's going, "It looks a little round from down here." Okay, movie night, yeah. Plain as day to Steve, had a different view than I did. We're in a series called The Challenge of Change. Jesus came and brought change. He's still bringing it. Amen?
Amen?
That change, when it comes, is often a challenge. Last week, we took a look at John the Baptist. He was baptizing. He had a ministry of repentance. He was out in the sticks, and he baptized Jesus. John was a ministry of preparation for the Lord. It was a baptism of repentance. It was an evaluation of where you are at. Because some of us look down going, "Hey, I'm looking okay." But for the Lord, for those around us, it's plain as day. We're not okay. Change has got to come. And the people were looking around them and really evaluating themselves, and they were making radical change, and people were flocking to John the Baptist out in the sticks, out in the wilderness. You know, it'd be like going to Escondido or something, you know, it's like it's hot, you know, or going out to, you've been to Wild Animal Park? I mean, man, it's out there in the sticks, you know, that'd be like where John the Baptist was baptized, not in the sticks, and people were flocking, and Jesus came, and John the Baptist baptized the Lord, and really kind of initiated his public ministry. The Holy Spirit came down upon him, and he was empowered to make radical transformation in people's lives. We're going to take a look at that radical transformation. We're going to talk about the truths of the kingdom today. We're going to talk about the keys to the kingdom. Jesus came He did his first miracle in Cana, turned water into wine. Came to the temple at Passover time and saw the people selling all the doves and the offerings, and he made a whip. And he drove them out. He said, my father's house would be what? A house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. And they said, what sign would you give us? John chapter 2, verse 18. What would you do to show us your authority to step in and make these changes? And he did miracles. And they believed in him. But in that belief, as I read, there was something that was lacking. They were missing out on keys to the kingdom. Nicodemus is going to come. Maybe their best teacher. And talk about the keys. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. Amen? All right, let's take a look. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs that he did. And they believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. Jumping into chapter 3 here. Now, there was a man, and it's just kind of a setup, because it's not working. Jesus is working, but the impact is not there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you can come to an understanding of who Jesus is, and yet he can have no impact in your life. Oh, I know who the Lord is. He's just not my Lord. Amen? Know what I'm talking about? Nicodemus was like that. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the ruling Jewish council, a bigwig. And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him. Nicodemus comes for a meeting. Comes at night, meeting with the man from God. Gonna check him out. People are seeing the miracles and they are believing. And there's something missing, and we see what is missing in Nicodemus. Nicodemus, possibly their top teacher. Gonna come and talk to the man of God. The man who is from God. The man who knows about heaven, the man who knows about all these things. And you know, realistically, he says, we know that you're from God. And it could have stopped right there. Could have said, we have come. I am sent by the great high priest, and we want you to be our high priest. These are the keys to the temple. We have been missing it. We have been lacking. We need the man from God to come and lead us. I mean, when you say rabbi, when you say teacher, we know that you are from God. There are some responses that could happen at that time. Amen? I mean, it's like, whoa, we're done. Tell me what is going on, Lord. I am ready to listen. But not Nicodemus. Nicodemus has got something else in mind. Could have had a parade. Here is the Messiah. But that's not the plan. Nicodemus comes at night. Nicodemus comes undercover. Little problem there. Can I get a witness? See where I'm going with this? See where the Apostle John is as he's writing this. Let's continue on. Jesus gets to the big stuff. He's not going to pally around and say, okay, Nicodemus, you know, let's sit down and have a, you know, 1 hour little thought session here. Let me see what's important to you. Let me see how I can meet your needs. It says, in reply, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom. It's like, whoa, we're right to the kingdom? Nicodemus didn't say anything about the kingdom. Nicodemus just said, we know you're from God because nobody could do the stuff that you're doing if it wasn't from God. And Jesus says, okay, let's just cut through all the, dare I say, crud, Hebrew word meaning superfluous dialogue. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And you would think Nicodemus is going, kingdom of God, tell me, boss. Tell me what is going on. I've been studying my whole life. I got the whole Old Testament memorized. I memorized the Old Testament when I was 20 years old. I have been a teacher. I have taught this stuff. Tell me, Lord. Tell me about the kingdom. What does it look like? What color is it? I've been trying to figure this out. You feel me on that? Ho, ho. What are you talking about? How can a man be born again when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb. Jesus gets right to the issue. You want to see the kingdom of God? You got to be born again. Nicodemus has a problem. He's not. He says, Nicodemus, you come into my house at night. You want to have this little undercover meeting? Let me tell you how big your issue is, because it is plain as day to me. You are not born again. You are not guided by the Spirit. You are just running on your own power. And Nicodemus sidesteps the whole thing. What are you talking about? You don't make any sense. How can a man be born again? How can a man, when he's old, go back into the womb? You're talking gibberish. Steve, that's okay. Just sit. Nicodemus is not. Nicodemus did not show up to talk about his situation. Many of us don't want to talk about our situation. Come in, have a little side discussion, throw up an argument. See, Nicodemus, realistically, Jesus comes and puts the finger right on the issue in Nicodemus's life, and Nicodemus just kind of shrugs him off. Nicodemus is just kind of being obtuse. Now, you youth might not know the definition of obtuse, but many of you live the definition of obtuse. Can I get a witness on that? It's like, what are you talking about? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And you're like trying to get in. Proper response would be surrender. Oh, Lord, how can I be born again? Many of us don't want to address our issues, and we can find ourselves arguing with God. Kingdom of God, tell me about it. Eternal life, tell me about it. Resurrection, tell me about it. Nicodemus could have seen Jesus as the man with keys from heaven. Problem was, Nicodemus showed up with his own keys. Nicodemus, top dog. Come to know Jesus as your Savior, got to make a trade. Your keys for his keys. Because you want to get into heaven, your keys won't work. Amen? I changed some locks the other day, Friday. A couple locks in there, and went to the locksmith, right? Because he knows how to work with locks. And it's the one over there by Radio Shack. And I gave him the two locks, right? And I said, how long it takes? Half an hour. I go to Home Depot, come back. They're not done. And I mean, it's just like one of them photo booths, you know, little old shacks, you know, that was there. I ain't got nothing going on, man. I'm like, okay. How much longer? He said, maybe another half an hour. So I go dinking around. I come back, and they're still not together. So I'm like, are they rekeyed, man? Give me the things. I can put them back together again. $15. I give him the stuff. Get him back over here. Put the first lock on. It's working. Put good. Put the second lock on, and it don't want to go together. I mean, I could put a lock together. And I'm putting this thing on, and the screws won't line up, man. And I take it apart, and I try to put it together outside of the door. It won't go together. Something, when he took it apart and put it back together again, got all cockeyed. That lock won't work. Put my key in, it won't open. And that's what Jesus is seeing in Nicodemus. He says, you've got the wrong keys. These keys are not going to get you where you want to go. You want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you got to make a trade. Your keys for my keys. Amen? My question for you this morning, whose keys you got in your pocket? Some of you youth might not even have any keys. Joe was talking the other day to his sister about cards and IDs and stuff, and he said, you know, I got an AARP card. And Leanne goes, no. He goes, yeah, I got an AARP card. He goes, I got it when I was 13. I used to carry it around with me all the time because it was the only card that I had. And some of you young people might have just like one house key or something like that, see. And some of you old guys, you know, you might have a whole wad of keys. Jesus says, your keys aren't going to work. You got to make a trade. Amen? Are we good? Are we okay? Amen? All right, because Jesus says there's barriers to entry. You got to have keys to get in. John chapter 3, 5 through 8, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. This is after the little argument that Nicodemus throws up. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, you know about that, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind, interesting use of words there, pneuma, means wind and or spirit, so there's kind of this combo thing going on you don't see in English. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You must be born again. Jesus says you can't get into the kingdom of God the way you are. There must be a transformation. You must be born of water and born of the Spirit. Now he's referencing this baptism of John the Baptist, where you repent of your life. You repent of your old choices. You repent of your old values. You say, you know, and you come to a realization, and the people that were around, the Jews were around going out to the sticks, going up to the wild animal park saying, man, my life is shot out. I got to get something new. And they didn't even know what the new was. Jesus had not shown up yet, and they're coming in droves. And maybe your life has been shot out more than once. And you're saying, I need something new. And you made some wrong choices. Jesus says you've got to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. And there is that element of repentance where you've got nothing. Where you sacrifice your old life and you have nothing. And the Holy Spirit comes in and baptizes you, comes in and dwells in you. Baptism comes later, excuse me for misspeaking. Baptism comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in and guides and directs you in your new life. Jesus says, you want to get in the kingdom of God, you got to turn away from your old, you got to turn toward the new, and you need to be Spirit-directed. Amen? Amen? Those are the keys that will get you into the kingdom of God. You're going to get to the end of your life, you will have the key that will slide right in that lock, open that door, and there will be a great celebration. The keys you have will not work. And Nicodemus is not getting it. Maybe that night the wind was blowing. Because you hear the wind? Can't see it, but you sure know it's there. So it is with the Spirit of God. You know it's there. People around you know it's there. And if you don't got it, just holding on to your keys. Oh, because that's all you got. It's like a AARP card. All I got, man, I'm carrying around. Nicodemus is there. He knows that Jesus is the man from God. But there's something that's lacking. I hope you know who the Lord is this morning. And I hope you have new keys. I hope there's not something that is lacking in you this morning. All right, let's take a look. Because Nicodemus is not making the connection. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said. And you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? I mean, there's a shifting that's coming on that Jesus wants to make, and he's leaving Nicodemus behind. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, me, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus isn't getting it. Nicodemus got the wrong keys, and he's not willing to make a trade. And here is the situation. Nicodemus is the best there is. I mean, the rulers of the Jews probably think, man, we got this guy Jesus. He comes in, makes a spectacle, drives out all the guys that are selling the offerings, the money changers, and all that stuff. And then they say, hey, show us a sign. And he starts giving us signs. What are we going to do with this guy? We need to send somebody to go see him. Let's send Nicodemus. If anybody's going to be able to slide in there with a rep, it's going to be Nicodemus. He's the best we got. And Nicodemus has fallen woefully short. You get a feel on that? Nicodemus, man, he's our top teacher, comes in at night undercover. Jesus tries to make it simple for him. He goes, man, you know what? I'm trying to use this whole born again illustration for you. I'm trying to put it in natural terms. Now, the spiritual truth of what I am describing is so incredibly more complex than being born again. If you can't even get this simple illustration, how can I move on to the actual complexity that happens in your life when God the Holy Spirit comes and begins to dwell inside you and redirect your thoughts, and you have a battle as a new spirit begins to try to guide you and your flesh starts to fight back? How can I talk to you, Nicodemus? He says, you've got the wrong keys. And Nicodemus is going, these keys are the keys to the temple, dude. You know how long I have worked for these? I am the man of God, too. I have been studying the Old Testament. It wouldn't have been the Old Testament. Just the Testament. Didn't have a new one yet. I'm the best there is, man. I've been working my whole life. I'm not just going to give these up. Now, I don't know what barriers you got, but I know that you've been working your whole life for something. And you got something in your hand that is, it could be a AARP card. It's all I got. I'm not giving it up because I got nothing else. And that's the keys, man. I can't give up my keys. You can even say, I work my whole life. I'm an old man. I can't give these up. I got to start all over again. And Jesus is saying, those keys ain't going to get you where you want to go. You don't start over. You're just going to end miserably. You will not see the kingdom of God. He says, you got a problem. He goes, let me tell you. You know the story of Moses. He's talking to Nicodemus. He says, Moses in the wilderness lifted up a stick with a serpent on it. People were in sin. They were complaining against God. They were complaining against Moses. Don't be saying nothing bad about the minister here. A little joke, a little side note. You'll get it later. So they start complaining against Moses, and God sends these serpents into the camp, and they start biting everybody, and they start dying. And there's 2 million people, 3 million people out there. You got these snakes coming in, and it is the judgment of God. It is a spiritual judgment that is coming. And God tells Moses, make a serpent, make a snake out of gold, stick it up on a stick. Anybody who looks at the serpent will be healed. Why in the world would he use that illustration? And he goes, man, it's a spiritual problem that you have. And the solution that you need is spiritual. Every one of us comes in here today born under a curse because Adam and Eve sinned. And we are condemned. And each one of us, because we have a spiritual problem, need a spiritual solution, and your keys will not get you there. The Lord is saying you need new keys. You need keys that'll get you into heaven. Amen? The only way to get away from the curse is to look to God, and for many of us, that takes a radical about face in our lives. Amen? You know, my belly's been bugging me. And I want to let you know that that is not a picture of me. Now Steve, see what I told Steve, man? I don't need you saying anything. I always wear a belt, Steve. That's how I know. Now, you're liking that, huh, Tommy? It's right up there with telling all the women there was no reason not to get candy yesterday. Anyway, so for me to work on that, it's going to take a change of behavior. Amen? So we had the movie night, and we were blessed. We had a bunch of stuff. We had lasagna. It's like a diet plate. Lasagna, garlic bread. And then we had, cherry pie, apple pie, strawberry shortcake, coconut cream. Oh, man. And lemon meringue. And I'm thinking, okay. Belly's bugging me. Got to make a change. Which do I choose? I had both. Belly's the same. See, some of you want the keys to heaven, right? Got to make a change. Got to be concrete. Got to be real. And if you keep on going to where you've been going, you keep your own keys. And you'll end badly. Amen? Last point. This is a note from the author. This is like a little preach that John throws in there. It's like a little, let me give you a summary of what's really going on. You know, we kind of move away from the discussion between Nicodemus and Jesus, and this is just kind of like a little jolt from the Holy Ghost that he gives to John. He says, okay, I want you to throw this in there right now. And this is where you get John 3:16, okay? So this is like a little injection of the Holy Ghost right there into the Gospel of John. Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Have you heard that before? It's a famous one. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And where there is a problem, God makes a way. Where there's old keys, God gives the opportunity for new keys. Can I get a witness on that? Are you tracking? Because we're talking about keys to the kingdom. Jesus is the gift. John the Baptist talked in John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." See, our problem, our curse comes because of our sin. And we don't have a way to address our sin, so God gave us a way to address our sin by sending His Son. And His Son would be crucified to pay the price for your sin. John is already pointing us to the crucifixion. The Holy Spirit is already pointing us to the ultimate sacrifice that Christ would make on our behalf. Amen? God is dealing with condemnation. If you've ever seen a condemned house, it is only good for one thing, to be tore down. And God says that all of us are under the curse of condemnation, that we get to the end and we will be torn down. Amen? To remove the state of sin, to remove out of that condemnation, Jesus says we got to be reborn, that we must be reborn of the Spirit. And this rebirth comes through faith. If you believe in the Son of God, you will be saved. You will be transformed. The Holy Spirit. Nicodemus comes in, and he's got a problem. He's flying on his own. He's got the wrong keys. He's headed to hell. And he doesn't even know. He's got the wrong keys. I hope you got the right keys today. I hope you've made the exchange. It's dark at night. Here's the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has been done through God. People like the darkness. Jesus brings light. Amen. See the difference? People would rather have darkness because you don't see what's going on. You can come in undercover. You can live undercover. The light is a threat because you step into the light, you step into truth, and all of a sudden you have to change what you do. You have to be transformed in your choices. See, you come into the light and your keys are all of a sudden made plain. And if you got the wrong ones, you'll know. And people will say, well, rather than make the change, I'd rather just come over here in the dark where I can just get by with my own keys. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe that describes your life. That's what describes Nicodemus's life. He had the wrong keys. He was living in the dark. He thought he was in the light, but it was just dim. Nicodemus is fighting the light. The whole religious structure of the day is fighting the light. Let's keep Jesus off of us. Darkness is just more comfortable because we don't want to make the change. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came at night. Nicodemus left at night. It's dark at night. had the wrong keys. Never know at night. Fiddling for the right lock at your house, can't figure out which key it is. Won't open the door. You want to get into the kingdom of God? Requires a complete about face in your life. Jesus says it is so radical that you got to be born again. That is a description that he gives us. Kind of baby steps for us, you know. Let me just kind of give it to a way that you can understand. Because the transformation is so complex. Paul writes about it. The other apostles write about it. We can talk about that later. But the question is have you been born again? Have you got new keys? Nicodemus was struggling. He went out at night. It was dark. You live in the light or you live in the dark? Lisa, you can come up and play. You got your keys or you got a set that comes from the Lord? I hope you've made the change. I don't know when it happened, but Nicodemus made the change. Perhaps you have heard of Joseph of Arimathea. Read about it at the end of John. As Jesus is crucified, Joseph of Arimathea asked permission to take Jesus' body down from the cross. And he takes and he places Jesus in a brand new tomb. And the Bible tells us that Nicodemus was right there with him. New keys. Nicodemus got them. I hope you got them. I hope the key set that you have will get you into heaven. Because so many of us are walking around with keys that won't work. Lord, I come before you this morning, and I know that there are keys jiggling in pockets this morning. There are smiles on hearts. There are smiles in souls thinking, thank you, Lord. We got some new keys. Lord, I thank you that I look forward to that day when my key goes into the lock and that door opens and there's a celebration in heaven. But perhaps you are here this morning. You just got one little old key in your pocket. And it's not going to get you where you want to go. And the Lord says this morning, I will trade you keys of heaven for the key in your pocket. Today you can be born again. Today my Holy Spirit sent by my Father in my name will come and guide you the rest of your life. You haven't understood it. It hasn't made sense before. But today it makes sense. And nobody looking around. And the Holy Spirit is right here in this place, tugging on your keys. The question is, are you going to pull them out and make a trade, or are you just going to shrug them off? Nicodemus made the change. Don't know when. Today, you can make the change. Lord, we come before you this morning. Right now, I just pray your guidance, direction, conviction of the Holy Spirit come in this place. You're here this morning. You got your little old ugly key. Say, Lord, I'll trade. Lord, I got my little old ugly life. I'll trade. I want a new life in you. I want to be born again. I want to be made new. I want your Holy Spirit to guide and direct me. I want to make heaven, Lord. I don't want to be arguing with you. I don't want to be struggling with you anymore. I'll surrender. We can have a parade. I want to be in it. Nobody looking around, but you are here this morning, and the Lord is speaking to you in a way that is so clear, it is so plain, you totally understand. You're saying, okay, Lord, I'll make a trade. I won't be born again. I want to make you my Lord and King and Savior. Nobody looking around. The Lord is just speaking to you. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Right here, 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 right there. Everybody else say, that's me. Put your hands down. Right now, the Holy Spirit is on you, just kind of tugging your neck, saying, I'm talking to you. You're holding on them old keys and saying, no. The Holy Spirit will let you leave this place with your old keys. He let Nicodemus leave that night in the dark. You don't have to leave in the dark. The Holy Spirit is on you and he's just speaking right now to you. He's speaking to you and you did not put your hand up earlier, but the Lord is just on you saying, this is your time. Don't fight me on it anymore. You're saying, okay, Lord, here you go. You got my keys. Anybody else? Last shot. Last shot. Right over here. Here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Back there, yeah, praise the Lord. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. Worship. 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 Worship.